You may be seated. Let's pray. God, may that song we've just sung to you be our prayer for this morning. Open the eyes of our hearts that we may see you this morning and as we go from here through the words that are proclaimed today. Amen. So I'd forgotten this story until just now, so it's a little addition. When we were at my husband's first church, there was a girl named Megan, and she went on a mission trip. And Megan wears glasses just like me. And Megan decided for that her year away in other countries, she wasn't going to wear her glasses or her contacts. And I thought she was crazy. I thought, all of those beautiful sights that you are going to miss seeing the crispness of. But it was her discipline for that year to connect more and see God through her heart and not through her eyesight. And she has a pretty strong prescription, and so she was missing a lot unless it was right in front of her. So I think of her this morning and her service to the Lord as we talk today about seeing. We had planned the last few weeks to follow the lectionary, and we didn't have a specific sermon series in mind, but it sort of turned into one. The last couple of weeks, Pastor Tom has preached on learning to see, and today I continue that theme about seeing as we talk about praying with our eyes. When I first arrived to Central almost a year ago, we were getting ready for a sermon series based on the book Soul Shift. One of the things that we envisioned doing was coming back to those shifts from time to time to review them. And so today we will review the shift seen to unseen. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tom opened his sermon about being blind. The shift from seen to unseen is like being healed of blindness to things that are eternal. It goes beyond believing in things that you cannot see to seeing things because you believe in them. When we're cured of our spiritual blindness, we're able to do what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. God awakens our abilities for discerning God's activity in this world, and we see God's fingerprints everywhere. In the story about Elisha, his servant, and the army coming to attack, there are two instances of blindness. First, the servant is blind at first to God's army, keeping Elisha safe. And second, Elisha prays for the army to be made blind and then for them to see again. That's where these two instances help us go today to two things that I'd like to share with you. Let's start with Elisha's servant. Elisha prays, "Lord, open the eyes of his faith that with them he may see the protection we are under." The greatest kindness we can do for those that are fearful and faint-hearted is to pray for them, and so to recommend them to the mighty grace of God. The opening of our eyes will be the silencing of our fears. The clearer sight we have of the sovereignty and power of heaven, the less we shall fear the calamities of this earth. In verses 16 and 17, we learn about the three ways that Elisha dealt with his servant's fear. One, by a demonstration of personal concern through a word of encouragement. Do not fear. Two, by biblical instruction designed to give a reason why he should not fear. He went to the Bible and said, "For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." and three by prayer for the servant's illumination. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. The lessons here are so powerful and practical. How can we minister to the fears of people? People are afraid in our world today, and we minister to them just like this. We need to show personal concern and involvement, provide biblical instruction, and go to the Lord in personal dependence on him. We can see this demonstrated many times throughout Paul's ministry as well. In verse 15, Elisha's attendant went out seemingly oblivious to both the fact of the enemy and of God's provision. Like for a lot of us Christians, the new day simply meant business as usual. He was going to go take care of his chores. He had no mind or concern for what was happening around him. Maybe he hadn't had his first cup of coffee yet. This all meant he was also completely unprepared for what he faced. In Soul Shift, we read, the moment it appears that we are hemmed in with no escape, like the servant seeing the enemy army, we are afraid. Sometimes we try to convince ourselves that the enemy is not really there, that perhaps we need to be more positive. But every morning we waken to the same old threat. We are still surrounded. The last efforts have failed, and we have no way out. As Christians today, many of us go around into the world unprepared spiritually. How quick we are to listen to the advice of the world rather than to meditate on the word and spend time in prayer. We have to have discipline. We have to practice to see the unseen. Think about when Jesus commands his disciples in Mark 13 to keep awake three times. This passage tells us to resist our human urge to fall asleep to life through maybe too much time in front of our screens, maybe indulging and gorging on food or drugs or work or other distractions. Spiritual disciplines are at the heart about staying awake to life, being fully present to our experience, and becoming aware of our own preconceived ideas and expectations that obscure our vision. So I told you last time I preached that I really like photography. What a neat way for us to practice a spiritual discipline and pray through our eyes. As a spiritual practice, photography combines the active art of image receiving with the contemplative nature and open-heartedness of prayer. Seeing with the eyes of our heart is our ability to receive the world around us at a deeper level than surface realities. We often use the word take to describe our relationship with photography. Our culture emphasizes taking time, taking what's mine, and taking a break. What we are endeavoring to do in this process, however, is to receive rather than to take the gifts around us, to be present enough so that when that photographic moment arrives, we are able to receive it fully with our whole hearts. Rather than taking photos or shooting them or even making photos, we can practice receiving images as a gift. The traditional words for photography can be possessive and aggressive. Yet the actual mechanism of photography is that light is reflected off of a subject and received by the camera through the lens opening. When we're receptive and when we're in a posture of receiving, we let go of our agendas and our expectations. We're able to stay awake and alert, participating fully in its messiness, and we keep our eyes open for the Holy Presence in its midst. Think about one of the most beautiful places that you've ever been before. I'll give you a moment to picture it. Or maybe it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. A partner walking down the aisle towards you, seeing your child for the first time, seeing that beautiful sunrise. If we look deeply enough into that beautiful image, into an oak tree or a mountain stream, a photograph or another work of art, we'll find ourselves there. And if we linger just a bit longer, if we listen intently, it will speak to us in a language divine, a language of light, of symbol, of metaphor. We will experience God. How simple it is just to point and click the camera or push the button on the phone. I have no idea how sometimes. I guess if I hold it long enough, the phone takes like 10 or 20 pictures at once. What I see through the lens of my camera is seen differently when I pull my face back and look at the image that I took on the screen. So when I hold my camera up, I always, after a few photos, if I'm taking them of a family, put it down and look and review. Because sometimes I might have missed someone's hair in their face. I might have missed something in the background obscuring and taking away from the photo. Or maybe if I take a step to the left or a step to the right, I'd get a different frame of the image. So if needed, I reframe and I refocus and I point and click again. Sometimes we need to reframe the communities we belong to, especially if we begin to think of them in cynical or despairing terms. Otherwise, we might promote a spiral of decline. We can reframe our narrative with pictures that are remarkably inspiring and hopeful. By experimenting with the frames that we use to understand ourselves and the world around us, we can expand our gaze and begin to see all kinds of things previously hidden or overlooked. You see this church almost every Sunday if you come here regularly. Maybe one day, I'll know what you're doing if you're walking around like this. Bring a frame or put your hands up and look at just a section of it that you haven't looked at before. You'll get a different perspective. We need to become aware of what and whom we overlook. How might we need to reframe our gaze and our values? Getting things properly in perspective in our own personal lives, like Elisha's servant, is an important aspect of our spirituality. One of the tricks for maintaining a sense of perspective in our life is to review our decisions, our plans, and our actions in the light of God's spacious, gracious, and liberating kingdom. When we have a true sense of perspective in our lives, we are likely to be fully committed to the things of God's kingdom and not just watching from the sidelines. Elisha wanted his servant to see the glory of God's kingdom. In Thomas Merton's book, Life and Holiness, he wrote that we must have a faith that demands an interior revolution of one's whole self and a reorientation of one's existence. Praying through our eyes can help us to live our life with this type of faith, discipline, and discernment. Discernment is about cultivating clarity of vision. And in order to pray through our eyes, we must have a vision that we work towards. In John Wesley's Witness of Our Own Spirit, he wrote, "We are then simple of heart when the eye of our mind is singly fixed on God, when in all things we aim at God alone as our God, our portion, our strength, our happiness, our exceeding great reward, our all in time and eternity. This is simplicity, when a steady view, a single intention of promoting God's glory runs through our whole soul, fills all our heart, and is the constant spring of all our thoughts, desires, and purposes. Elisha, whose ministry so often portrays and parallels that of the Lord, brought Syria into this predicament not to kill them, but to communicate by bold demonstration the power, wisdom, mercy, and vision of the God of Israel. What Elisha did demonstrated the destruction he could have caused, but by his acts of mercy and abundant provision, he sought to convince and convict them. Then he opened their eyes. Elisha did something about the injustice that was occurring, and that brings us to that second part of blindness. In Soul Shift, we were taught and reminded that God has given us two sets of eyes, one on our face to see what's happening in the visible world, and the other in our hearts to see what is happening in the invisible world. Opening the other eye never changes anything in the visible world, it says in the book, but it explains and reveals a completely different set of realities that can teach us how to live in the visible world. I would argue with that statement from the book, the part that says opening the other eye never changes anything in the visible world. Elisha did. We can change the visible world through what we believe and learn from the invisible world. In my online study group for Soul Shift, I would do weekly live videos, and I gave them an example for this particular week. The film Hacksaw Ridge talks about fear and doubt. It's a biographical war film about Desmond Doss, who was an American pacifist in World War II. Desmond was the first conscientious objector to be awarded a Medal of Honor for service above and beyond the call of duty during the Battle of Okinawa. He hears the cries of fallen soldiers, and instead of using the rope to go back down the cliff to safety with the other soldiers, he turns around and he goes back into the battlefield and he starts saving people. He drags them to the rope. He ties them to the rope and he belays them down this giant cliff. Soldiers at the bottom are shocked and wondering where all of these wounded soldiers are coming from. And he does this all night long. After each wounded soldier has been lowered down the cliff, he prays to God, saying, "Help me save just one more." What would have happened to all of those wounded soldiers if Desmond hadn't gone back to save them? They were given this great opportunity to live out the rest of their life, and they could go on to do amazing and magnificent things. Desmond listened to the call of God and saw beyond saving himself to the unseen possibilities of the future, of all the people that he saved. Praying through our eyes can help us to be prophetic and to take action against the injustices of the world. When we set out to photograph something, we are tasked with revealing the essence, the true spirit of it, as we see it and feel it in our bones. For the more truth a photo contains, the more potential it has to touch the heart. Our images, or praying through our eyes in another way, might awaken others, ignite a passion, lead to an action that will make a difference. These are dangerous times on earth, times of despair and disillusion, of mean-spirited greed and intolerance for the other. These are the times when we, as image makers, as those who pray through our eyes, can be of use. Every time that we pray through our eyes, we can choose to contribute something valuable. The power of prayer and the gifts that God has bestowed in each of us can have the power to lift others up, to change the world. What then shall we focus on? What stories shall we tell? What is it that we care about, that we want to learn about? What do we already know that we can pass on to others? What is missing that we might add? This is our time to do God's work, to make things happen, to make something of the gifts that we have been given. This is our time to be the hands and feet of Christ and to contribute to the healing of this fragile earth and of the beautiful beings who cross our paths. Amen.